when a pastor gets up to speak, when he just gets up. But there are also times that when he gets up, he feels a very heavy weight on his shoulders and on his heart. And as I studied this morning, that weight just kept getting stronger and stronger. And I think it's because I know that some of you, like me, have struggled with the issue that we're going to talk about today. And some of you are now struggling still. And so I feel very inadequate, I guess, in being able to express what David has expressed. And so I just hope and pray that the words that are said this morning will be words that reach your heart, I guess. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 13. You can see the title, Hurry Up and Wait. And I'm going to read these six verses here. And if you'd like to follow along, I'd appreciate it if you would do that. And then keep your Bible open there because we will be in Psalm 13 the rest of the morning. David writes these words, How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Would you pray with me, please? And Father, as we come before you this morning, I know that most, if not all of us, have struggled at one time or another with the question, how long? And I know that there are some even here this morning who are still struggling with that. And so, as I've already expressed, I feel a very heavy weight because I feel so inadequate in being able to express what David has done here. But I pray that you will take the words that I'm able to speak and use them for you. Pray for the folks who are here today who are struggling with these questions that David has. I just pray that as they sit and as they listen, that they'll just sense the presence of the Spirit come over them. They will just sense this peace, knowing that you know what you're doing. And I pray, Father, that when we leave this morning, we will know that we have been with you. That we haven't just listened to music. We haven't just listened to a sermon. We haven't just had communion. But we have listened and been with you. And so I pray that you will be that real to all of us today. And if there's somebody here today who's really struggling with these questions, just pray again that you'll just flood them with your presence. And then I ask, Lord, that as I bring the message, that you'll help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For to his name I pray. Amen. Waiting. What a beautiful word. We love having to wait. I just love going to Walmart and watching the line snake back through the store with only three cashiers open. I love waiting. I love going to an amusement park, standing in line that has a sign that says, from this point on, your wait will be 1 hour. Just love waiting. And I'm sure most of you are in the same boat. You love going to a restaurant. You're dying of hunger. Oh, it'll be 45 minutes. And so you have the option of sitting there waiting or going somewhere else. Note the sarcasm, by the way, okay? couple of weeks or a couple of months ago, I mentioned about how Joe and I had been heading over to Pennsylvania to see my father, who is in a nursing home, and we got stopped on Interstate 70 for 6 hours. 4 miles down the road, there was an accident, a tragic accident, and so we sat from about 4 o'clock till about 6 o'clock on the interstate. Fortunately, you know, it was a nice day, rolled the windows down, talked to some of the people, just kind of sat back and said, well, nothing I can do about this. And surprisingly, I was more relaxed over that than I was standing in line at Walmart. Not sure why. So the question I have is, why is it so hard to wait? Why do you and I have such a difficulty waiting? In fact, let's get to the point. Why is it so hard waiting on God to act? Why do we have such difficulty of just hurry up and wait for God to finally do something and to move? Well, Psalm 13 is a mixed bag, because as you go through this, it's almost like, and I use this carefully, David is schizophrenic, because he begins out by complaining about things and then he turns it all around. And what I want to do today is I want to take a look at why he had trouble waiting, and then ultimately, how did he change his perspective? How do we change our perspective when we are told, wait on God? So let's begin by, first of all, talking about the problem with waiting. I think most of us can relate to David. David had been anointed by Samuel to be king, but he didn't get it immediately because Saul was still king. And so Saul calls David in and he begins to play music for Saul to soothe him down. But instead of soothing him down, Saul begins to pursue him. So he spends the next almost 7 years as a fugitive running from Saul. He lives in caves. There was one point where he and his men, his people, lived in a city called Ziklag in a Philistine city. They went out on a military mission. When they came back, the city was destroyed. Their families had been taken and kidnapped. And so instead of them rallying, they turned against David. I think most of us can appreciate what David has gone through, and we understand how that is. David Jeremiah is the pastor of Shadow Mountain Community Church in San Diego, California. He is a cancer survivor. He wrote a book several years ago called When Your World Falls Apart, and it goes through some of the Psalms, but it talks about his battle with cancer. It was a long, drawn-out, painful experience. And he talked about it mostly in this chapter on Psalm 13. So I want to share with you three reasons why we have problems waiting on God. And they're from David Jeremiah, so I cannot take credit for that. The main thoughts are his, the rest of it is mine. Okay? So there's really no plagiarism except for the first part, just so you know that. Number one, when God delays, we feel forgotten. Verse 1, David says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? So David was feeling forgotten by God. I love this quote that I found. It is not under the sharpest, but under the longest trials that we are most in danger of fainting. In other words, what Andrew Fuller was saying is, it's not the ones that hit us, boom, and they're over with, that are hard. It's the ones that last. The ones that seem to go on and on and on, days, months, even years, as you wait and you wait and you wait. And it's those long ones that we are often in most danger of fainting. Those are the ones that we weep and we cry out to God and we say, what? How long? I think every one of us will admit that we've been through some tough times. Personally, as a church, as a family. And one of the problems that we have is, as this expands and goes longer, it's easy to reach the limits of our faith. It's easy to get to the point of saying, I've had enough. God, do something now or I'm done. It's easy to say that. It's easy to do that. But while we may begin to feel forgotten and left out, the truth is it's radically different. I didn't write this down. I wish I had, but if you can grasp this, if you can write this quickly, that's fine. I'm going to repeat it. God never gives up on you. He never ceases to care about you, and He will not abandon you. I'm going to repeat that. God never gives up on you. He never ceases to care about you, and He will not abandon you. So it's easy to feel forgotten. The second thing that he says here, when God delays, we feel forsaken. Verse 1 again, at the very end, it says, how long will you hide your face from me? That is a problem. David felt forsaken by God. It wasn't that he just was forgotten. He felt forsaken by God. You see, God's testing David. But David's problem is not with the test. His problem with is God's seeming disinterested in him. That's the problem. David understands that there's a test. But what David doesn't grab a hold of is, how in the world can God be interested in me? You see that? How long will you hide your face from me? Now here's the thing. Being forgotten is one thing. Being forsaken is another. Let me illustrate it. Being forgotten, your family stops at a rest area. You know what's coming, don't you? You take off. Where's Johnny? Oh, we forgot him back at the rest area. So you turn around and go back. I won't ask how many of you have done that, because I know some of you have, probably. Hopefully not, but you have. Forsaken is different. Because whereas forgotten is just where you forget, forsaken is premeditated. Forsaken is where someone has made the decision, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to abandon you. You see the difference? So David not only has said, I have felt forgotten, but now he says, I have felt forsaken. And it's easy to get that way. It's easy to get to the end of our rope and say, man, someone pull this rope back up. But then there's a third thing that David Jeremiah brings out. When God delays, we feel frustrated. Verse 2. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the days? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Now he has two problems with frustration. Number one, he's frustrated with his own emotions. The thing that happens is when the trial goes on, the answers don't come, it's easy to get frustrated with your own emotions. You're up and down. You keep thinking, why in the world am I this way? I'm supposed to have faith. But you see, every day is a new challenge. Every day brings us a new challenge, or it's repackaged. I found this as I was studying. The third time David asked how long, and if you go through here, he's asked how long twice in verse 1. Now he asks it again. He refers to the combination of what we would call dark thoughts and uncontrollable emotions. When we sense God is no longer blessing us or present, we tend to ruminate on our failures. I don't know what happened to that. That ended up. And what? And we get into an emotional funk. We get to the point of saying, I don't understand this. Why am I going up and down? And we get into these emotional funks that we go, I can't go on. But then David's also frustrated by his enemies. You see that? And the verse 2, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Let me ask you a question. Let's suppose that you have these dreams and visions of moving up the ladder. Okay, you've got a job. You're moving up the ladder. And then someone decides to use you as target practice, and they make false accusations about you. Well, false accusations somehow, sometimes take hold, and so there goes your promotion. Not only that, not only is your promotion gone, but maybe your job's gone. Because the false accusations have become so real, they say, we can't have you working for us anymore. And so maybe you end up as jobless. Maybe you end up wandering around trying to figure out what's going on in your life. Well, if that's ever happened to you, welcome to David's Club. Because that's exactly what happened to him. Anointed by Saul, or Samuel, supposed to take over, but false accusations by Saul led him to run and hide. And he became a fugitive. You see, it's easy to allow our emotions to get the best of us. It's easy to allow our enemies to get the best of us. But there's a good point to this, okay? I needed to set that groundwork. There's a good point to that. Let's talk about the perspective that we need. Because somewhere along the line, David turned a corner, okay? Somewhere along the line, David found answers. And I believe those answers are for us. Verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. David's turning point, are you ready for this? Was prayer. And you're going to say, that all you got? Yeah, that's all I got. And you're sitting there saying, wait a second here, Bill. I tried that and it doesn't work. Hear this, please. David prayed, not because he was a godly man, because he was. But he prayed because he was a desperate man. That song, we said, desperate for you. David prayed because he was desperate for God. Look what it says here. Consider and answer me, O Lord. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. David was broken. David was beaten down. It's as though somebody had taken him, thrown him on the ground, stomped him, cut him up into pieces, and stomped him some more. And he was broken. And he was desperate. But see, that's the point that we need to go. That's the point we need to get to. If you are going through something, God is okay with you expressing your frustration. God's okay with that. Guess what? He's big. And so you can shake your fist at him. You could scream at him. He's okay with that. But what he wants you to learn more than anything else is that he can teach you how to be a trusting child if you let him. If you let him. Notice what David says in verse 3. He prays three prayers, actually. First of all, he says, consider me. Second, he says, hear me or answer me. And then third is, light up my eyes or open my eyes. So, put your notes aside, take out your Bible, and watch what happens with David, if you would please. Psalm 13. I'm going to give you four discrepancies, seeming discrepancies, okay? I'd like you to follow along with me, if you would. They're all in this chapter. Okay, number one. If God truly forgot David, as he says in verse 1, how then does he talk about God's steadfast love in verse 5 when he says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love? Number two. In verse 1, he says that God has hid his face. But in verse 6, he says, and at the second part of that, he says, you have dealt bountifully with me. If God has hidden his face, How can he say God has dealt bountifully with him? Number three, in verse 2, it says that he has wrestled with his thoughts. In verse 6, it says that he has a song to sing. And number 4, he says, my enemies are triumphing over me. But in verse 5, he says, I will rejoice in your salvation. All right, you see the discrepancies? On one hand, he says, I have been beaten down, I have nothing. On the other hand, he praises. And here's where David turned the corner. Here's where we need to turn a corner. It appears that the difference is between David's feelings and David's beliefs. He felt like God forgot him. He felt like God forsook him. He felt all of this, like he was frustrated. But God stood true. And he really believed that God's love was unceasing. Here's the question. How many of you have been beaten up by your feelings? How many of you, and I know because people have said this to me, I don't feel God close. I don't feel like he hears what I'm saying. There have been times that I have felt like my prayers hit the ceiling and reach back and slap me in the head. There have been times that I have felt like God was not paying attention to what I had to say. The truth of the matter is a whole lot different. And here's what I want you to see. It's in your bulletin. It's going to be on the screen. When our feelings are stronger than our beliefs, we will find ourselves blown away by circumstances and events out of our control. Would you read that with me out loud, please? When our feelings are stronger than our beliefs, we will find ourselves blown away by circumstances and events out of our control. That's the turning point that David came to. David realized it was not his feelings that mattered, it was his faith. When your belief about God's love, his mercy, and his providence bring you question, there is a verse of scripture that I want you that I try to remember, that I'd like you to remember. Write down, scribe it, write it in your heart, put it on your forehead, put it on your arm, whatever. Here it is. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And they are new every morning. Finish it out. Great is your faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow or turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Remember who God is. His character never changes. Your world changes. Your emotions change, people change, but God never changes. He is solid as a rock. And so let me put the final analysis on Psalm 13. What we have here is a song of triumph, and we also have a song of thanksgiving. because David realizes that his faith is far more important than his feelings. And then he sings a song of thanksgiving and says, God, I'm going to praise you for your steadfast love. I know that some of you are struggling with this very thing that we're talking about today. Waiting is one of the hardest things to do. Because it's not the sharpest, it's the longest. And you get tired. You get weary. You begin to say, how long and how come? But I learned once from a woman named Johnny Erickson Tata, who ended up as a quadriplegic from a diving accident as a teenager. She said, I stopped asking why, and I started asking what now. I stopped asking God why, and I started asking Him, what now do you want me to learn? There's no timetable that we can understand. God's timetable is totally different than ours. We would love it immediately. I want that answer now, God. I'm just tired of waiting. I asked you yesterday. But sometimes He says no. I have some things I want you to learn. I want you to wait. Take that forgotten feeling. Take that forsaken feeling. Take that frustrated feeling and take it to God. And understand that feelings do not define you. Your faith defines you. You may feel His distance, but He is not distant. You may feel forsaken, but you are not. You may feel forgotten, but you are not. God has promised that no matter what you do, He's there with you. He will not cause you to stumble, and He doesn't leave you alone. He walks through it with you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You know the hearts of the people in this room. You know who needed to hear these words from David today. I just pray that like an arrow, they pierced down deep. I'm grateful that we have a God who's big enough to handle our complaints, but also our longings, our screamings, our railings, but who also says, come to me and let me teach you. And Father, I don't know the answers. I go through it myself and I don't know the answers. How can I have the answers for other people? But I can point them to You because You are the one who has the answers. And so those who are struggling this morning, I just pray again that You will just flood their soul with peace, with a sense of relaxation in You. A sense of being able to say, Lord, I'm going to stop asking You why. I'm going to stop asking You how long. I'm going to start asking You, what do You want me to learn? And then we trust our faith instead of our feelings. Thank You for who You are. Thank You that You never change, that Your mercies are new every morning, and great is Your faithfulness. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for being the God who knows all, sees all, is everywhere present. the God who's full of mercy, full of grace, full of truth, full of love, and who brings light to our lives. Thank you that you are Jesus the Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. And we want to give you the glory and we want to give you the honor. And now, Father, as we take communion this morning, I pray that you will help us to see that love in action. Help us to see the faithfulness that you showed your Son. That as he was going through all that on the cross for us, you stood by him. Even though you turned your face away, you raised him from the dead because he was obedient to you. Oh, Father, teach us to trust you, not our feelings. And I pray that as we reflect on this communion time, that you will be real to us. That you'll just bring this point home of how much the Father loves us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have communion. We're going to be served communion. We ask that as it's being passed that you do think about what's going on, who your relationship with, what your relationship with Christ is like. Ask that you might think, okay, have I waited? Am I struggling with God? It's okay to struggle. It's okay to struggle. But run to him. Trust your faith instead of your feelings. If you're visiting with us, we ask you to hold the elements, and then I'll be back up and we will take them together.